It is Sunday morning, and I know everyone is ready. They've got their pads and pencils ready, and they're sitting down at their seats right now because the professor is here, the bench coach of the San Francisco Giants, and that is Ron Wotus. Well, good morning.
So good morning, Marty. How you doing today?
I'm doing great. You know, first of all, breaking the losing streak last night. And I know, what can you do from your standpoint? You know, when you're an 8 in a row, what do? To get this thing going?
Well, you mentioned it earlier to top off the show here about when everything's not in sync. And it takes a performance sometimes, a great offensive performance, a great pitching performance, to break out of that. And or key hits. Look, we've been getting guys on base. We haven't been able to get the clutch hit. You know, there's not one secret recipe to come out of this thing. I think the most important thing is that guys keep their confidence up and keep pushing forward. And it was a nice win last night, and really Heston set the tone on the mound. Crawford with the big home run. We got a run early, which is nice. You know, when you're losing games, it's nice to play with a lead opposed to always trying to come from behind, where you limit your base stealing ability and other things that you like to do in a game. So a good win last night.
Yeah, you know, were you nervous at all? In the, you know, and I know the press makes a big deal about it. Bochy talked to the team a couple of times over this losing streak. I mean, you're 3-9, and you're watching the Dodgers win 5 or 6 in a row. Colorado hasn't lost on the road, and here you are, sort of the world champion, struggling out of the gate. Was there any pressure building up here? I know Bochy talked to the team last night.
Yeah, well, you know what? You never want to have a long losing streak because we understand how important it is to not fall too far behind. And usually when you have a good year, you stay away from long losing streaks or multiple long losing streaks. We had one. We wanted to stop it. 8 games is plenty long enough. You know, we're in the basement right now. And you just don't want to fall too far behind. So it's important to, you know, to keep our heads above water, especially with a lot of our guys banged up. And, you know, the Matt Cains and the Hunter Pence, who are so important to this offense, Hunter. And, you know, also playing short with, you know, we had 13 pitchers. And then we had Belt go down for 5 days, Casey McGee. So it was an uphill battle for us. But we feel that you want to avoid the long losing streak. And, you know, 8 was plenty long.
All right, Ron Wotus with us this morning. Yes, this has been a big week of ceremonies. And look, you love it. You want to have ceremonies. You need distractions because you raise a World Series flag on Monday. You have a ring ceremony yesterday. What did you think, first of all, of the flag raising and your left-hander riding out there on a police horse?
Yeah, I think everybody enjoyed seeing that. Seeing Bum get on the horse. You know, we do it right here. There's no doubt about it, whether it's opening day or a ceremony. It's always a great atmosphere, and opening day was beautiful once again. And I got a kick out of seeing Bum on the horse. As people said, he knows his way around a horse, and tremendous day. And yesterday, and you think about ceremonies, and a couple people have asked me, would you like better opening day or the ring ceremony? And they're both fabulous, no question. It's special days, special energy in the ballpark. But honestly, I know myself here. I've been through 18 home openers, and as good as they are, I've only been involved with 3 ring ceremonies, and that's even more special when you can go through something like we did last night.
Yeah, I talked about it last night on the show. I said, you know, the flag raising is a little bit more of a team effort, you know, and you got Bumgarner, of course, singled out, and he hands the flag to the guys who've been through the World Series together. But, you know, I'm sitting in the press box. You can hardly see it in a way. You know, it was far away. And I thought he should have ridden the horse from home plate, across with the flag, you know, like, you know, through, you know.
Braveheart.
I'm trying to think of the right kind of Game of Thrones, I want to say.
Well, maybe they were going to do that, but Greg Elliott, our groundskeeper, he may have nixed that because you never know what's going to happen when that horse has to go that far, especially in a gallop.
Well, that's why you got Bill Hayes, you know, to be. No, I'm only kidding, Billy. I'm only kidding. You know that. But I like that. That was good. But the ring ceremony for me was an individual where they could call you out. They could call Bumgarner out. They could call Duffy out and Ishikawa out. And you relive the moments with it. And I thought that really was very special.
No doubt. I think everybody's anxious to see the rings. You know, it was kept under wraps. Nobody, at least the players, that maybe a couple guys have seen a picture of it or had an idea, but nobody sees it. There's a big anticipation, and what does it look like? You want to get your ring. You know, you want to get it on your hand, and we've waited a week to get it. So there's a little build up there, but no question, it was a nice day yesterday, and it was nice to win the game. Yeah. You know, after such a special day and presentation, to go out and play the baseball that we want to play.
All right, now I tease you a little bit about Billy Hayes. You know, Billy, we have fun with him. We'd love to get him on the show if he'd ever come in. But he got on you yesterday. Andy Baggerly wrote the whole blog last night saying that you're hitting extra fungos to people just to help your shoulder. And you do extra fungo after BP? Is that possible?
Well, Billy likes to needle me since my arm blew up last year and I had to have the surgery. So I'm unable to throw batting practice. And, you know, us coaches, we keep track of those things because he's out there every single day. I mean, Billy starts off group one. He throws BP better than anybody on the staff, and we ride that horse. And when his fellow coaches are down, you know, we all know how that it is. We want everybody chipping in. So he likes to needle me a little bit because I can't get on the mound. And, you know, I like to hit the fungo. That's my job, is with the infielder. So we had a little late early work in Arizona, where one of our infielders, Matt Duffy, did not get all the ground balls that he wanted. BP was done early. We still had the field for 5 minutes more. The team left, and we stayed out there and took ground balls. And as Billy said, it's never been done before in the history of the game. So we had a little fun with that, and Billy always points it out to me.
Yeah, he said that you will pitch again in about 2018. That's
well,
what he said.
Exactly. Well, you know what? That's a good point. Last year I didn't throw. We won a World Series, so why change it up? And I think when I'm going to have to throw is when Billy blows out. And that's going to happen soon. It won't be too long, and that arm's going to go.
All right. Hey, he's the first base coach, a very important job on a ball club, not just waving people from first to second. A lot goes on at the first base coach now. A lot happening over there.
Sure, sure does. I mean, as a base coach, you have your responsibilities, but you have the opportunity to get as involved as you want to. I mean, look, you know, we're constantly watching not only the players at second base trying to relay signs to the hitters, but the base coaches. There's base coaches. Pat Corrales was notorious at first base. He'd had them sunflower seeds in his hand, and he'd be moving around, relaying pitches to the hitters, what's coming. So there's a lot of things you can get involved with, looking at the catcher's signs, and relaying that information to the players. So it's very important. And, you know, those are things that Billy and the other coaches look to do when they're out there on the field to try to help us win a game.
Yeah, you forget about all the little parts of the game that you want to do. Willie McCovey was telling me that Wes Westrum, when he coached down at first base, he'd have the catcher's signs within two pitches. He knew exactly what was coming, that he could look in there and see the stuff.
Right, and you know, it happens a lot. And then the difficult part is, you know, how do we get it to the player? Will the player trust the information, and can you take advantage of that information that you have?
Hey, well, there was a slide in the game the other day, and this is all right, and now we're going to class with the professor here. It was on TV quite a bit. I don't know if you saw all of it, but Escobar of Kansas City was taken out of a play by Brett Laurie of the A's, and it looked like one of those slides that he went across the bag and kept going. Spikes up and sort of got the knee of Escobar and knocked him down. Let's talk about protocol. How do you slide into second? We saw Holiday do it to Scudero. What's accepted? What's not accepted going in? Can you go in late? Spikes up? What can you do?
Yeah, well, I guess first off, you know, what the rule book states is you have to be able to reach the base. So, guys, if you're going to the right or the left of the base and you're going after the fielder and you can't reach the base with your arm, you're going to be called out because you're not making an attempt to the base. So that's first and foremost. You have to go over the base. Then it gets a little tricky on, you know, when you go in hard, whether you're going in hard clean or it's a dirty play. And I think we saw it with Scudero. I think players, infielders, myself being one, I would get very upset when a player would slide late, very late, and roll past or and get into a sidewards roll and roll past the bag. So sliding late, going well beyond the base, sliding late and hard is something that you're going to upset some people. You can go in hard as you want. But don't do it late. Don't go go into a roll well beyond the bag. And the last thing is spikes up.
Yeah.
You know, you can hurt somebody. Everybody's gotten, most infielders have gotten, you know, their shins nicked up with spikes in their leg. And, you know, you want to keep that foot down. If you're going to get them sideways, you want to keep the spikes down because it is dangerous with the spikes. So, you know, that's what the infielders are taught to, you know, throw underhand sidearm, throw right for the player's head if he's going to come in hard like that with his spikes up.
You ever see that happen?
Oh, yeah. Infielders hitting
yeah,
absolutely. I've hit two or three guys in my career. Yeah, absolutely, because that's the way we were taught. get the guy down. You don't want him sliding late. And sometimes you got to take the offensive approach that I'm getting the ball and I'm going to make him slide so he doesn't come in there and get me. And you throw the ball right at him. And yeah, sometimes you do. You hit him in the helmet. You're not trying to hit him. You're trying to turn a double play, but you're throwing from a low angle. So this guy doesn't hit you. And there's a lot of guys. Bobby Brown was one of them that would go in really, really hard. You knew the players that were going to come and take you out. Yeah. And, you know, usually there were guys that were fast, so they get on you quick. And the other thing is they come in very, very hard, and you're very aware of them.
Boy, Frank Robinson used to do that. Don Baylor used to do that. I remember coming in. Dwayne Kuiper got, you know, his career got curtailed by someone coming in like that. I forget who did that for Dwayne.
Right.
But that happens. You know, so the day of Ty Cobb, that famous shot of him coming into third with the spikes up, that day, I guess that day is over.
Yeah, well, you know what? It's a little more of a gentleman's game today. I think that I'm going hard. I still try to, break up the double play and do everything can to do so. But it's a little bit different today. There's no question about it. Now, you look at how the video review has changed everything about being out or safe. And there's another aspect to, you know, sliding in the second base that players have to be aware of this at this day and age as well.
Boy, you look at some of the things that go on in the field, how the game is different. One is the shift. And I was talking to Joe Panik the other day. I said, my goodness, you know, I don't even notice now. It's not the full shift. It's like he's almost on the second base bag. And Goldschmidt hit a ball the other day that went past the mound. I said, boy, that's a single to center. And there he was. Panik was right there and threw him out. He did it a couple of times last week. So is that now part of the deal, not the full shift, but you're moving people dramatically towards a base?
I think that the full shift and also overplaying is becoming more and more common in the game. And, you know, part of it may be the type of hitters that we're seeing in the game. Guys with a little more groove swing. They're not using the whole field. They're just pull type hitters.
Yeah.
The toughest hitter to defend is a guy that uses the whole field, that will hit the ball from the left field line to the right field line, because you don't know where to play them. Usually you play straight up. So hitters that have more tendencies to not do that, you're able to overshift. Of course, how you're pitching them enters into it as well. But some of these guys that everybody's shifting on today, it doesn't matter if you've got a lefty and you're playing him on a shift where the shortstop's on the second base side, and everybody says, well, you know, you're shifting, but you're throwing him fastballs away. Typically you'd think he'd go to left field,
yeah.
But a lot of these guys aren't doing it. So you can throw him fastballs away, but not everybody's in that category. So those guys are easy shift candidates. The guys that will use the whole field, obviously you can't do it.
Well, I'll tell you one thing, in watching Ron Wotus, of course, the professor here on Sunday morning, you know, let's say you have a one- or two-run lead. First guy gets on, the opposition gets on, there's nobody out. Now you got a lefty hitter coming up who's a pull hitter, the shift guy. And now you overshift on him. Now you're only up by a run or two. Why doesn't that guy lay it down? I mean, and the box score is going to look like a line drive single.
Right.
You need runners on base, but we just don't see it. Now, you set these defenses. Does this go through your mind that, hey, we're giving this guy a base?
Absolutely. And that's the number one thing that keeps you from shifting on who's going to bunt. And I think Colorado made a statement when we were here that they are not going to allow people to shift on them as much as they did in the past. They had Justin Morneau.
Yeah.
Last year, he did not attempt one bunt. This year, we shifted on him. It was two outs with a runner on first. Yeah. Not nobody out. Two outs, typically a guy that can drive the ball out of the ballpark, is not going to bunt. He wants to hit a double You want to be able to, you can drive in a run from first. That's his game.
Yeah.
Well, we shifted in a 2-1 count. He had one strike on him, and he attempted a bunt.
Wow.
And Machi made a great play and threw him out. So I believe more and more players will do that or should do that to combat the shift. And we'll see as we go along. I know Colorado is doing it.
Well, I'll tell you, Belt, how about, he's a prime candidate to do it because he comes up in situations where things can happen.
Right.
And he's he's slumping a little bit right now. Why wouldn't he do that in a shift?
Right. Well, he's working on it. Again, the trade-off is when you have a man on base and there's two outs, the way we were taught to play growing up, you have two outs. You don't want to bunt and get on base. Well, you want to hit a double,
yeah,
right? You want to score on two hits. And these guys are paid to drive the ball. Belt's in an RBI position in the lineup, and he wants to drive the ball into the gap or out of the ballpark. But there's no question, Marty, if you're losing the game, and you have to know yourself. You know, if you're not swinging good, you're facing a tough pitcher, get on base. Keep the line moving, as, Boach likes to say, and good things will happen. So I think that's something that, you always want to try to take advantage of any opportunity you have or any weakness the other team has. You want to exploit it. So there's one area that you can do so.
Yeah, I think we're going to see it. We're early in the season here, only 13 games in. But believe me, as this season goes on and people start realizing that, a game is a game of adjustments all the time. I'm telling you, I think we're going to see it. And why not? It just makes sense to get somebody on base and get the guy on. You want a guy on. You don't want an out.
Yeah.
So I think we're going to see it.
I think we are, too. Maybe not so much with, the big poppies of the world in Boston.
Right.
Some of the American League clubs where they're typically more offensive clubs. You don't have the pitcher hitting. They're trying to, score a lot of runs. And those guys may not change. But, look, they're shifting on little guys now. It's not big-time hitters, single hitters. And some of these guys that aren't home run hitters, teams are shifting on, and they're the guys that will probably start bunting to stop it.
Wow. All right, Ron Wotus with us. We'll take a quick break. I want to ask you about the new clubhouse. There's some nuances of this thing, the meditation room, something like that.
Yeah.
I want to hear about this. So we'll take a break. The professor will be back with us right after this, right here on the Sports Leader.
Talking baseball with Marty Lurie on KNBR 680, the Sports Leader. Now back to KNBR's Giants pregame. You're talking baseball with Marty Lurie on the Sports Leader.
With us, it is Giants baseball today. Tim Hudson goes for win number 215 in his career. He's been pretty good against Arizona, 9-1 lifetime. Jeremy Hellickson, former Tampa Bay Ray, rookie of the year in 11, had a good season in 12. 13-14, not so good, and he ended up being an Arizona Diamondback. The Giants have seen him once already. The professor, Ron Wotus, the bench coach with us. Well, a lot of improvements, I say improvements, a lot of changes in the clubhouse. And I walked in the other day, and I thought I was in a nightclub in a way. I mean, the lights are a little darker. It's laid out differently on top of each locker. The name is illuminated. And you got some music in the background, and I thought, maybe John Coltrane will come in or Sonny Rollins or someone. I mean, honestly, describe all this for me. What do you think of it?
Well, it's beautiful. There's no question about it. I mean, it's really transformed from the old clubhouse.
Holy cow.
I mean, I think one of the main purposes was is try to get the main clubhouse where the players were in more of a square than a long rectangle. When you have meetings or somebody's speaking, you have everybody's attention, before there's pillars in the way and, guys are so spread out. So, that was part of the one of the reasons that they wanted to change it. But it came out beautiful, and they've expanded the kitchen. They've given us a new coaching room as well, video conference rooms. So they've really upgraded it, and it has come out fabulous.
Yeah, nightclub. I absolutely, because you come in the doors out here in the hallway. That's one thing. Then you got to go through two more doors, and you expect to see a bouncer coming,
Yeah, it's like Maxwell Smart, the beginning of the show. And then when you get into the main clubhouse, it does have the aviance of that low light. And I don't know if you noticed the players have a spotlight on their names. And we didn't get that in the coach's room. Now, I don't know why. Maybe nobody goes in there. But Bill Hayes, once again, and I think he's probably listening, he went into his safe at home, and he brought out that automatic light, and he plugged that into his locker. So when you go in the top of his locker, what's pretty dark in the coach's room, that light comes on automatically. You just have to walk by his locker, and the light pops on. That's so funny. He's got it a lot nicer than the rest of us.
All right, but the meditation room, well, what about this? Now, this is new, and of course, in life and all the philosophies of relaxing at work and all this, now you have a room to meditate. What does this look like?
Well, the game has changed.
Has it?
It's a beautiful room, but the game has changed. I went and checked it out. First of all, it has one of those nice Norwegian chairs where they take the pressure off your back. Yeah. If you've ever gone to a place to get a massage, sometimes they have the meditation rooms where you get to tilt back. And you can go all the way back, or you can just kind of lay there horizontal, and it takes the pressure off your back. And it is comfortable. But I have to tell you how the game has changed, Marty, because years ago when I was managing in the minor leagues, I'd had a couple players. You'd see them sleeping in the training room. Now, that's gone on since the game has started.
Sure.
And I remember once you're trying to teach these guys how to play the game and what's right and what's wrong. And we had a high pick. His name was Dante. He's sleeping in Albuquerque on the training table 10 minutes before the game. He's the leadoff hitter. So I notice all this. He goes into the game. He walks to home plate, didn't move a muscle, didn't run a sprint. He goes to home plate, hits a ball in the gap. And he only gets a double. And this kid could run.
Yeah.
He should have been on third base. So I yanked him out of the game right there. And I told him, I said, hey, look, I says, you have to be on third base with that hit. So he leaves the game. After the game, we talk about it. And I said, Dante, you can't. If you do that in the major leagues, if you sleep and then you go out and not run a ball out hard, they're going to send you right back to AAA. And I guess they won't today because we have a meditation room where you can go sleep.
So are people using it?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah. I think so. Obviously, they're not using it 10 minutes before the game.
Right.
But, I think it comes into play when guys are sick. Guys come to the ball. Look, baseball is every day.
Yeah.
And guys are sick. Guys are run down. Look, we get here 1 o'clock for a 7:15 game, and a lot of players do the same thing. So it's an opportunity for them to get away for a few minutes. And as you said, I think it's in our culture today, especially in California with the flexible hours and naps at work. You hear other corporations doing that, and I don't think we're going there, but I think it's a room that's available if we need it.
I like it. Allie, let's talk to Lee Hammer about this. Let's get something to KMBR. I need a meditation room. These are long days for me. All right, I like it. All right, so the game has changed. I'm glad that they're taking care of that personal side of relaxation, because I'll ask you this. Well, a relaxed player better than a pressurized guy?
Oh, and there's no question about
it, okay.
Right? Well, look, at anything. I think you perform at your best, right, Marty, if you're relaxed and confident about what you're doing. If you're strung out and tired. And I remember talking to a professional golfer, Tim Simpson, and one of the biggest things that would bother him before he played a golf tournament is when he was in a rush or he didn't get enough sleep, because he felt his concentration and his focus would waver when he didn't have enough sleep. And, with all the doctors we have today, and our medical staff does a tremendous job being up on all the latest techniques, concentration and focus is a big part of what we do. And if you're well-rested and rested properly, it improves.
It's funny, not to say this is the right answer, but I've been told over the last couple of years, having the amphetamines, the greenies, out of the game has changed the game more than anything for that long season. I've heard that from veterans, people who played 30, 40 years ago.
Right. Well, it's a very tough game on the body, because it's every single day. You don't have the recovery time. I think it's changed it a little bit. And, guys today along that line, they get more off days. Years ago, right, players didn't come out of the lineup. You didn't get an off day.
Yeah.
You're talking about an off day? You're worried about somebody taking your job. Today, because of the schedule and the demands of the game, we try to keep the guys, rested, give them their proper days off, because we believe, they'll perform better that way. And years ago, we didn't look at it like that. It was like, don't leave the lineup. And that's the first speech I got from my rookie ball manager. He told the Wally Pipp story. That's day one, right off the bat. You have to learn to play with injuries.
Yeah.
You have to know the difference between being hurt and just being, you know, injured.
Look at Casey McGee.
There you go.
I mean, look at that. He's playing. I'm sure he doesn't feel great with the knee.
Exactly. That's the old school mentality. He wants to be on a field. He wants to help his team. And that's the way, you know, we were brought up in the game. And it's, you know, it's changed a little bit. Today, there's, you know, the players are very valuable assets, and we want to keep them healthy and keep them on the field. So I think it's changed a little bit.
Boy, all right. This is the last of 14 straight. Then a day off tomorrow, then you got, I think, another 9. I think you got 23 here in the month of April, all against the West. It's been a challenging beginning of the season. The bright spot, though, I just want to get your thought about Chris Heston. What makes him so good?
Well, he's certainly performed extremely well his first few starts. But what stands out, obviously, is you know, his movement on his sinker. He's got tremendous movement on his sinker, and he can command not only his fastball, but an off-speed pitch. He's able to throw his off-speed pitch when he's behind in the count. And, you know, if you can command your fastball on another pitch and you have a feel for pitching, you're going to have some success. Now, you know, you couldn't expect that he'd done as well as he'd done, but you could see the way he blows up some bats. He can run that ball in on guys, sinking into the right-hander, and then throw that breaking ball cutting away. So his stuff is very good, and he looks like he's got a very good feel for pitching.
Yeah.
He navigated the lineup tremendously last night, you know, who he wants to pitch to and who he does not want, you know, to let beat him and get to the guy that he wants. And, you know, that's confidence, ability to command your stuff so you're not worried about walking a guy to get to the right guy. So he's looked very, very sharp.
Yeah, he did it in the second inning going past Ahmed. He missed by 10 feet on every pitch. I knew he's walking him.
Right.
And he got De La Rosa up, first pitch, got it in on him, ground ball to Panic, and that was the end of the inning. I've seen it all week, pitching to the wrong guys and getting hurt by it, and this kid seemed to figure it out.
Yeah, that's pitching. That's how you pitch. That's how you navigate a lineup, and let's hope he continues to do what he's doing. He's been a big shot.
Well,
in the
course.
You're losing Maddie and him stepping in and doing what he's
done.
And
you got it in baseball. You got to go around the league a couple of times. You know, there's no question about that. But you got to do it the first time, and he's doing it the first time, which is good. One last thought for you. I like the catcher for Arizona, Tuffy Gosiewicz. This kid, I'm telling you, if it's like every pitch is from Jeremy Affeldt, every pitch is in front of him, and nothing goes through this guy.
Yeah. You're exactly right, Marty. We were talking about it in the dugout. I've never seen a catcher. He's had about 5 or 6 balls hit him in the mask, and they drop right in front of the plate like he's taking them off the chest protector. You know, usually that ball hits your mask, and it shoots to the right or to left. We haven't been able to advance in a ball that goes off his mask. I don't know if he has a flat mask or what he's wearing, but he's done a great job for him. He's really blocking the ball well and receives the ball. And, you know, that's why they have him out there. Yeah. The number one reason is his ability to catch and do the things that he's doing behind the plate.
I like to watch him. I think it's fun to watch the guy, you know, for that reason. Well, this is Game 7 against the Diamondbacks. You're all tied up 3-3, so this is the World Series, Game 7 today.
Let's do it.
All right.
Game 7, that's what we're looking for.
That's right. You seem to be good at that. All right. Hey, well, I appreciate you being on. We'll chat with you next week.
Look forward to it.
All right. That is Ron Wotus, the bench coach, the professor, on Sunday morning right here on KNBR 680, the sports leader.
Talking baseball with Marty Lurie on KNBR 680, the sports leader.